woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State. And welcoming some new friends to the show, man. This is a big day for us, not only because of the guests we have, but because of some great announcements we have. Back on at WJRW in Grand Rapids. And we're very happy to be back on them, on their AM station, their FM translator, and also on WBBL. We are adding those stations to our list of affiliates now. Very excited, man, because there's the two AMs and the two FM translators, which means a lot more coverage for Wild Michigan. If you're hearing us for the first time, we greatly appreciate you joining us. If you've been wondering where we're at, well, we're back in the Grand Rapids area, plus all of our other great affiliates around the state. Very happy to be reaching out to each and every one of you. And if you know what, if you ever have an idea for a show or have a guest that you think we could benefit from, by all means, contact me via our website, wildmichiganradio.com, where a link to my email and my personal cell number's on there. You can call me anytime. And, you know, by all means, text too. You can text me. I'll get right back with you right away. Also want to welcome a new friend of the show, NotJustGuns.com, and they are a great store in Mason, Michigan, right there on Cedar at 127. They are more than just guns, as the name implies. Firearms training, weekly auction on Wednesday night. They've got a weekly gun auction. You can sell your item on their auction as well, plus all the great brands like Beretta, Smith & Wesson, Federal Premium Ammunition, Hornady, Leopold, Sig Sauer, Ruger, Remington, Smith & Wesson, Trijicon, just a few names there. And go to their website, notjustguns.com. We'll be talking with them here later on as we make our way into the springtime. Also, our good friends at Conquest Sense of Davison, the Sense and a Stick, the VS1, the Evercalm, and all the other great products, the Heat Seeker, all the great products that they are putting out. And again, conquestsense.com. All of this information on the front page of our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, we've got the big show in Grand Rapids happening this weekend, which is very good timing for us to be back on WJRW and WBBL. And that is the Ultimate Sports Show, which we'll be talking about a little bit with Jimmy Gretzinger later on in the show. But right now, our good friend Al Stewart, who is the Upland Game Bird Specialist for the Michigan DNR, and need I say it again, the award-winning Upland Game Bird Specialist for the Michigan DNR. Al, how are you, sir? Good to have you back.
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks, Duran. It's always a pleasure to be here.
It's been a busy day of announcements, and man, to have you back on the show, it means a couple of things. That we'll have some announcements that have happened in your life, and some things that are going on that are very big and that you've earned. But we also have turkey season coming up in April, which this has become, Al, my favorite time of year for hunting.
Oh, turkey hunting is just so fantastic. There isn't anything better than turkey hunting and you know, the season that goes with it. Spring, geez, you know, spring came yesterday. You could smell it come in, you could see it, and the birds are gobbling and displaying today. So you know, I even heard a robin singing, so it's here. I can't wait. I'm a little done with winter personally, but
we've had four of them, Al.
But I'm just so happy that spring's here, and again, the turkey season is here, and there's a lot happening, and I just invite people to go out turkey hunting. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
You know, it truly is, and if you've never been, I got to tell you, this is something that's absolutely so amazing to do. I started doing it a number of years back, seriously, and I've had some success. I've taken my wife out. She's had such close encounters with birds, have not yet been successful. But Al, we watch these birds year round because there is a very large flock up at my in-law's place. And you said something about them strutting and displaying. Well, I've noticed that they do that throughout the course of the year also, but it's kind of a different meaning coming up in the springtime.
Well, you've heard the term pecking order. And turkeys are every day constantly determine, you know, who, as they say, the boss Tom is, and who the head female turkey is. And so, you know, they're always, you know, posturing for who's at the top of the pyramid there. And that's what keeps them, you know, the survival of the fittest. And, you know, it's, you know, talking about turkey hunting, I mean, that, the great part about turkey hunting is it combines, you know, the best of the of deer hunting with your woodsmanship, kind of understanding the lay of the land, some of the movements of animals, with the very best of waterfowl hunting, where, you know, in duck calling or goose hunting, you know, you're calling to the bird, you're trying to encourage them to think you're, you know, a goose or a duck, and to come in and, you know, take a closer look. And turkey hunting combines all of that in what? The best time of the year to be out there, the spring. You can sit there and watch the world come alive as you're out there at sunrise. Very few people just in their everyday lives get up early, go out in the woods, sit down, and watch the sunrise. And there are so many things that happen at that time of the day. And it's, to me, it's just refreshing.
Absolutely. Al Stewart is our guest. Here is the upland game bird specialist for the Michigan DNR. Al, when it comes to the mating season, now we know licenses for those who have applied, those, you know, people were notified on March 4th, will have licenses over the counter coming up here very soon. But as far as getting to watch patterns, when is a good time to start? Because we can see them now. They're still in the field and they're still out going around. But when are they going to really start coming into that spring mating pattern?
Well, you know, we set the spring turkey seasons so that the majority of the hens have been bred before the season even opens. And then, you know, we're harvesting, you know, toms, males, and bearded birds. But, you know, most of the birds are adult males, or males anyway, bearded turkeys. And so right now they are posturing. They are starting to really determine who's going to be one of the breeders and who isn't. And so you may have a couple of toms, adult toms, that tolerate each other, and then two or three jakes or young males that kind of hang with this adult tom and, you know, kind of learn the ways of the land, I guess. And now is as good a time as any to really start looking and just watch for them. They will be gobbling more as the, you know, as we get further into spring, I hope. And yeah, this is the time right now. Pay attention.
Speak with Al Stewart here on Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by Not Just Guns. You can find them online at notjustguns.com. Al, it's one thing, you know, with deer hunting, that you are going against their nose and their ears. Their eyesight's pretty good as well. But with a turkey, fortunately, we don't have that scent issue, but they have a visual radius and eyesight that is second to none in the upland game bird world.
Oh yeah. The thing about turkeys is they have truly binocular-type vision, and the other is they can see movement. So when you're hunting turkeys, the key is not to move. And when you say not to move, that means no moving. hardly blink your eyes. And I've been with people who the birds come in and they just move their hand a little bit and the turkey just goes. And then you're sitting by them and you say, boy, you moved. And the person says, oh, I didn't move. No, I didn't move. But yes, you did. You know, that's enough. That was it. The turkey saw you move. So that's the key. You know, some say that if you look at the it's hard now, but if you look at a clock face with the second hand ticking around,
sure.
As we look at that and we can easily see that second hand tick, the turkey can look at that and see the hour hand move with the same kind of motion.
All right. Al Stewart.
That's what we're talking about.
Absolutely. Al Stewart is our guest here. Al, we're going to talk more about what you've got coming on, what you've had going on as well. Just a little taste of turkey season as we get closer here in Wild Michigan. Being brought to you by NotJustGuns.com on the Michigan Talk Network. And even when it's cold, she's still hot. My baby looks good in camouflage.
Hey, this is Nick Mutt. Munch, the Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale. Around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by Conquest Sense, Deer Sense, also the Heat Seeker, the Scrape Maker, all of those things you can find on their website at conquestsense.com, and you can find a direct link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, as we speak with Al Stewart. He is the Upland Game Bird Specialist for the Michigan DNR. Al, the announcement was made to those who applied for certain areas of the state, across the state, rather, for their turkey licenses, whether they got their pick, their first, second, third pick of the season. And then we have the over-the-counter licenses go on sale. That's what I like to do, because you have that, the ZZ time span, which is like pretty much the whole month of May. And then, of course, you know, if you have some left over in your area for the first season or the second, they're available. Now, I forgot when that goes on.
So if you want to go turkey hunting and you've never done it, or if you have hunted turkeys and you just didn't get, you know, apply in January, March 18th, you can pick up any leftover licenses that were out there. You can pick up, of which some of those are the ZZ hunt, which is private land only in southern Michigan, the southern one-third of the state, that runs for the first 2 weeks of the season. And that goes from April 22nd to May 5th. And there's still, you know, there's some left over for that. But the other one, the one I like to buy too, is the, you know, the Hunt 234, the guaranteed hunt. And you can buy that beginning on March 18th. And that's good for anywhere in the state from May 6th to May 31st. The only place that's excluded with that license is public land in southern Michigan, so the state game area. It's a smaller little islands of property, because one of the core management pieces for spring turkey hunting is to provide opportunity, but maximize hunter quality. So that's what turkey hunters have asked for, is hunter quality and opportunity. And that's why we have sort of the drawing system and what we have in place, and, you know, the various smaller areas or different areas to hunt in. So that's what we've got. And you know, with this system, you know, as turkeys have kind of changed from a species of scarcity to an animal of abundance, we've been able to be more liberal all the time. So an example, in 1969, the first time we had a spring season, we harvested 50 birds.
Wow.
Last year, we harvested over 34,000 birds, which puts us about sixth in the nation for wild turkey harvest. Under us, and then rated or ranked as some of the highest quality turkey hunting in the country.
Well, so, I'll second, you know, that.
It's great.
Yeah, I'll second the quality, and anybody that thinks that hunting Michigan is easy, well, you know what? There are some easy times, don't get me wrong, but compared to any place else in the country, we're probably one of the hardest places to hunt turkey.
But we, you know, again, we're providing lots of opportunities. So,
absolutely.
You know, we like youth, mentored youth license, you can buy that for $7.50. That allows a youth to hunt anywhere in the state that the season is open, during any season, during any period. So if you've got a kid, take him with you, and it costs you $7.50. But at the same time, you know, we're all over, you know, military personnel and, you know, our veterans that way. And if you're a resident active duty military personnel, you get a free of charge beginning March 18th for any of the leftover licenses.
Wow, that's pretty doggone good.
It is. Yep. So, you know, we're, like I said, we try to provide a little bit of something for everyone. And I think we're doing it. We must be doing something right, because we have people who come from all the 50 states to hunt turkeys in Michigan, plus internationally, Canada, Finland, Germany, Italy, Mexico, Puerto Rico, the UK. You know, so people are coming here and enjoying the experience that all of us have a chance to do on a, you know, during the spring season and the fall season. We have fall seasons as well.
All right. Al Stewart is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Al, it's been a busy year for you. I mean, since the last fall when we talked, I do believe. I mean, you have become so award-laden now. I don't know how you move around anymore because you've had, the opportunity to go overseas and meet with Prince Charles briefly. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was invited to speak at about woodcock, American woodcock at High Grove with the Wildlife Conservancy in England. And High Grove is the personal estate of Prince Charles. So that was an interesting experience, and I felt very privileged to be invited to go over there. And they covered all the costs from, you know, me to get there and speak about American woodcock and the activities we're doing in Michigan for woodcock.
So, well, that's awesome.
That was fun.
I mean, look, you've had a lifetime of work with the state of Michigan with the upland game birds. You have watched our populations grow in a lot of areas. We have become the top destination places for woodcock in the world. We have some of the best turkey hunting in the country. And these awards, Al, are very deserved. So that's why we don't mind you mentioning these things. And you also received a Lifetime Achievement Award from Pheasants Forever. And you now have a fund named after you from the Ruff Grouse Society. Al, what are we going to do? Well, we're not going to get you on the show for free anymore.
Well, you know, it may suggest that I've been working for the DNR for a long time, but the reality of it is, you know, I'm truly humbled by, you know, the acknowledgement. But what it really represents is all the outstanding people that work with Michigan DNR every day doing things to get things done for all the people of Michigan. You know,
sure.
I'm blessed to be able to work with so many professionals that get the job done, and I just happen to be one of many, and it's not often you can work for a business or work in a place and say, boy, just about everybody I know is like at the top of their game.
Sure.
And that's what you see in Michigan, and I think, you know, in Michigan, having the ability to have traveled to a lot of states and looked at things, we so often, and I'm guilty of it too, is take the resources and the management activities that go on in Michigan kind of for granted. Geez, we have, you know, world-class salmon fishing, you know.
Oh, sure.
The best muskie fishing, you know, great deer hunting. I mean, elk hunting. I mean, it's all barren. It's all right there almost at our fingertips.
Right.
And some places are really good at one thing, but not multiple things, and then being very, very good at it. So, mm-hmm. You know, we're so lucky. We're just so lucky.
Well, Al, I'll leave this. And in closing, I feel we're lucky to have you. We're lucky to have the great guests that we have here on this show. And I'm very fortunate to have learned from every one of you for the past 13 and a half years, man. It's been a blast, and we're not done yet. So thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely.
We'll have to talk about spring turkey hunting a little more in depth as we get into it.
Absolutely. Well, we're getting close, and we'll have you back on before it all goes and gets underway. Got more coming your way. We're going to speak with James Lucky Miller from Countryside Kennels. It's puppy time here on Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to Al Stewart, upland game bird specialist for the Michigan DNR, talking a little bit about the upcoming turkey season for 2019. And we are very excited to be back on in Grand Rapids at WJRW and a new station. Actually, we were on WBBL a long time ago, but very happy to be back on both of those stations, along with all of our other great affiliates that you can find via our website, wildmichiganradio.com, And we are being brought to you by Not Just Guns in Mason, Michigan, Cedar at 127. Also, Conquest Sense, the ATA-approved hunting scents for deer, and there's a bunch of other great scents that they have as well for bear and for dog training. And speaking of dog training, we're going to go to our good friend James Lucky Miller, Countryside Kennels. How are you, brother? Good to talk to you again.
Hey, good morning, Duran. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. You know, yesterday was kind of funny because I was out in the yard. I'm like, wow, it's warm out. It's spring. What am I going to talk about tomorrow? Hey, puppies. Because
there you go.
A buddy of mine just had a litter of Griffons, and that's, you know, that's his bird dog that he raises and he hunts with and he guides with. And you are our lab guy. You've had some beautiful dogs over the course of the years that we've known you, and you know, you've had the the retrieving labs, pointing labs, shed finding dogs, which we're going to talk about here in this segment. But you said something to me yesterday that you've got probably one of the most beautiful litters you've ever had coming up.
Yeah, we've 25 years now, and we've learned all the tricks of the trade, and I do have kind of a nutrition background through Ralston Premium Company, and we've tried some different things with some flaxseed oil and some fish oil, and this litter of pups that I have now, they'll be going home this Saturday, and it's all blacks, and boy, do they shine. They are just absolutely gorgeous, and it just keeps getting better and better. I figured this litter, I traced it back, was a seventh-generation pup out of our Countryside Kennels, and I'm pretty proud of that.
That's crazy. Seventh generation?
I can go right back to dogs I was guiding at hunt clubs with back in the mid-90s with this litter of pups I have here.
Wow. That's incredible. And, you know, and I find it funny, these remedies that we're coming up with, you know, like you said, the flaxseed and the other things like that, that these have been things that we as humans have used for centuries. Centuries, and now we're finding that these things are probably better for us, and we should have just never gotten away from them, and that they're just as good for our animals.
Well, yeah, it's funny. I had a pup that had some coat problems. By that I mean an adult dog. She would constantly shed if she was stressed or working hard or nursing a litter of pups. And so the vet recommended a product that had some fish oil and flaxseed and some amino acids and stuff like that. And boy, it just made a world of difference in her. And I started using it with the pups. I said, hey, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Let's see how our pups look. And they're just spectacular. I almost hate to see them go.
Right. Now, look, I'm going to tell you from a picker standpoint, you can't keep everything. Now, that's my hobby job, okay? I'm buying and selling all kinds of antiques and the like. But, you know, and there are things you get absolutely attached to, things that, you know, are really cool and whatnot. But you realize you're doing this, you know, I do it to make money. You're doing it for the love of the, well, I love the business as well. But, you know, you're doing it to make money and, you know, boy, dude, if you kept every pup you liked, I can't imagine.
No. In 25 years, I figure modestly we're well over 400 pups that we've been able to place with nice families and hunting homes. And we've got dogs in the military. We've got dogs that are diabetic detection dogs and working dogs in the industry that are detecting bed bugs for commercial spray applicators. And it's been pretty rewarding to watch what happens. I had one particular dog that was trained to help a lady with diabetes, and just prior to having a sugar attack, Yuli met an owner, and the dog had been triggered on that to alarm her and let her know, hey, he needs to get taken care of here. And when you start looking at all those things, you really think, wow, I've kind of, this has been nice. My dogs have made an impact on some people's lives, and if they're that versatile that they can learn those type of things where they could lay on the couch with you and watch television, or they could actually be in a bunker in Iraq testing for bombs to save our soldiers' lives. And my love for deer hunting combined with that dog, it just was a natural transition that, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, as you know, we started treating dogs for shed antlers. And at that point, it was basically relatively unheard of. It was a brand-new sport.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I only knew of a couple people in the country that were doing it at the time. And it was it's been the best thing ever happened to me. We got on board just in time. It's extended my hunting season. I've got access, Duran, to property I never dreamed of setting foot on. As you well know, Michigan, you stay on your side of the fence.
Right, right.
So, you know, but in March, these guys are seeking me out, and they're like, hey, why don't you come on over, bring some dogs, we'll go pound that woods of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I love this time of year in the woods anyways. I mean, everything stands out like a sore thumb.
Sure.
All your scrapes, your trails, your rubs, it's so easy to put together the pieces of the puzzle. And in my seminars, you know, as we travel around and do seminars, it's kind of funny because I'll say to them, you know, in the fall, when you're searching out that big buck and you're trying to figure out where to put your tree stand, the first thing you're doing is you're educating him to your presence. The second thing is he could be anywhere, a CRP field, a standing crop field, the orchard, the swamp, the fence row, the ditch bank. That buck could be anywhere. But as winter winds down and those deer go into that survival mode, they're going to be in one of two places, either the food zone or the bedding area,
mm-hmm.
or on their feet going back and forth. It's so much easier to be in the woods that time of year and to see exactly where these deer live and how they survive. That makes you a better hunter.
James Lucky Miller is joining us here from Countryside Kennels, talking about the spring puppy time and the other benefits of having these dogs, the shed dog in particular. And, you know, and it really, I think, not only are you building relationships with people you may not have had this relationship with before, you're gaining friendships and possibility, even access to new lands that you'd like to hunt.
Yeah, to be a very successful shed hunter, you got to burn a lot of boot leather.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really, you do it. They're a needle in a haystack. You're not just going to walk out in the woods and start tripping over them. And now a day like today, I absolutely love, for some reason, on a cloudy, overcast day like this, those antlers just shine. I don't know what it is. They really pop out on that forest floor. And it's just, I've had better luck on cloudy days, believe it or not, than I have had on sunny days. And it's better sending conditions for my dogs.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely.
Nice, you got nice, moist ground out there right now. Temperature's about right. You got a little breeze in their face. They can really find them.
That's awesome, man. And that's, it's becoming not only a big hobby, but it's becoming big business, and so many people are incorporating, you know, the live edge woods, and they're incorporating the sheds into these things, into projects and things of that nature. And trust me, a real shed lantern and lamp looks so much better than the fake ones. So, you know, it's all a matter of taste, but again, it's all a matter of affordability as well.
Yeah. But yeah, we've had a lot of fun with it, and I have had the opportunity to go travel all across the Midwest with my dogs and talk to people that found it as a passion and talk to people that was a nice weekend out with the family, and it's really been kind of a neat thing to do, and they're very appreciative of some of the things we bring to the table, and that's a nice feeling to have.
All right, James Lucky Miller is our guest here, Countryside Kennels, and we're going to talk more with him. Jim, if you don't want to mind, hang on real quick, please.
Sure, I'd love to.
All right, man, we're going to touch base on finding the right puppy for you and you know, the application you want to use the dog with. He is a breeder. He is a seminar speaker and all-around good guy, but what he's not anymore is a walleye captain. We'll talk about that as well here in just a couple minutes. You're listening to Wild Michigan, being brought to you by NotJustGuns.com. Don't forget their Wednesday night auctions at NotJustGuns.com, located on Cedar Street in Mason at 127. Also, Conquest Sense. And welcoming our friends back in Grand Rapids here on the Michigan Talk Network.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild!
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Great Lakes State, all over the world, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcast there and welcoming some new friends, old friends as well, back in Grand Rapids area and the west side of the state. A couple of new stations picking us up, a couple of AMs along with their FM families. And that really makes me excited because we've really put a new
emphasis on getting back into doing the show the way we did, with you know, a lot of our same guests, a lot of new guests. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. Jim Lucky Miller is our guest here from Countryside Kennels. This whole CWD thing and everything else in Michigan has really kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. And not from what anybody has done, but just kind of all the infighting, everything else, that I just kind of wanted to get away from the deer season here in Michigan. And I've taken a couple of years off. But with the shed hunting idea, it really, you know what? It's one of the things that makes me want to kind of get back out in that time of year. This time of year, especially for turkey hunting, is I love it. But maybe someday getting a shed hunting dog. How do we, you know, how does one really pick a puppy? I mean, look, the whole, oh, that one's cute, I like that one, that one comes to me, that's great. But there has to be a more scientific way to pick out the proper dog for our application and how we are going to live with that dog.
Well, Duran, the first thing really that someone in search of a good dog, you've got a 10 to 15-year investment. And I can tell you firsthand that it's much more rewarding to take an intelligent dog and that you can teach it in three sessions what you could teach a knucklehead in 3 months. the chances of getting a couch eaten and that kind of stuff go way down. So I suggest researching your breeder first. Go online, look up reputable breeders, talk to them about their program, talk to them about their dogs. A good breeder will put the right dog with the right person. I'm not going to sell one of my high-powered pups to a 94-year-old guy that wants to watch Jeopardy with his puppy on his lap, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I've got a 22-year-old kid that wants to go out and pound shed ground, he's going to get that dog. So a good breeder will ask the right questions, and if you're paying attention, you can feel that out. You want a dog that's healthy. And what I look for when I go to that breeder's farm, is everything clean? Are the bowls washed? Is it meticulous? Are the dog kennels labeled? Are the dogs well-mannered? Are they spinning and barking? Are they sitting there waiting their turn to go outside? Two barkers breed a barker, more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
Mild, calm dogs can produce mild, calm dogs. The next thing being his paperwork, his record-keeping, his vaccinations, those things are all very important. If you've got a sloppy breeder, a lot of stuff gets overlooked. If you've got someone that really cares, they're going to take care of those things, and that's a benefit to you down the road. When I walk into that kennel and there's eight little puppies standing there and they all look identical and they're all beautiful,
sure.
And six of them run up to me and two of them hide in the corner, those two are out. My picking of the puppy is a process of elimination. So I take the six aggressive ones, or the happy ones, the friendly ones, and we'll go for a little walk outside, and I might throw a tennis ball on the ground, and if two of them run over there to get it, the other four are out. Now I'm down to two. Okay? And then I take the tennis ball away, and whichever one's still hunting for it,
mm-hmm.
that's the one I pick.
See, and that right there, in a short few sentences, I think would really help somebody that's what they're looking for in a dog. You know, and again, you're not saying come see me. You're saying look for, I mean, and I'm putting you in the category of reputable breeder. But you know, you're telling people to do their research. This isn't a commercial for Countryside Kennels. This is a wherever you're at, take the time to look into who you're dealing with.
Exactly. Does the breeder follow up with you when you receive a deposit? Does he keep you posted as far as the puppies are here? This is where you're at on the list. Here's a picture of them. You know, nowadays it's changed so much in the 25 years that I've done this. People expect more. My customer is much more educated than he was 25 years ago. They read, they learn, they watch, they expect pictures of the puppies as they progress. I've got people that show up to pick up the dog at 7 weeks old and they already got a scrapbook.
That's not a bad thing either.
I'm serious. They're waiting for the day that they can put the picture of the day they picked up the puppy in the scrapbook.
That's awesome. James Lucky Miller is our guest here at Countryside Kennels. With, you know, the dogs, let's talk about hunting dogs in general. that their life as a dog and our lives as owners and caregivers for these animals has changed dramatically. The old hunting dog just isn't chained up outside till it's time to go. It's not out in the kennel outside 24/7. It's indoors. It's living with us as a member of the family, and its role and how we have, you know, managed these dogs has changed dramatically over the years as well.
That is so true. They're part of our families now. My father started this whole thing. His dad gave him a German Short here in 1948 in southern Michigan, Lansing, Mason area, right where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And those birds were so plentiful. And he would leave the dog outside, and then the season came, you hunted him for 2 weeks, and that was it. Nowadays, they're just as much a part of our family as some of our children, or more, as I see on occasion. And the dog can get away with more, I'll guarantee you that. But I see how much it's changed. And I was, in the early 90s, I was breeding short hairs, setters, pointers, Brittany's, and labs.
Wow.
But I have transformed over the years. I live right on Saginaw Bay, basically. So you're going to, what do we have here? We have duck hunters.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the decline of the pheasant population. I watched the decline of places where a guy could pheasant hunt. And that, as that happened, all of a sudden people kind of changed, and they wanted that dog. And I see it changing again. I see the younger people are leaning more towards Labradoodles and these crossbreeds and Snicker Pies and all this stuff that we have now. It's all changing again. So we went from bird dogs to family companion hunting dogs to this more of a, I don't even know where we're going with it. But,
lost
it's
track.
Changing again.
Yeah, it is. I mean, these things, you know, like you said, they've transformed from just the utilitarian dog to the, you know, the family pet that also hunts.
You know, and what's benefited me with that, with the lab in particular, and why I settled in on them. One, they are my favorite breed. They always have been. My dad bought me a lab when I was 15 years old and said, if you train it, son, then you can hunt with it this fall. And that started it for me. And what has happened is I've watched over the years how these labs are so versatile and the things they're capable of,
mm-hmm.
and how they can comprehend what you're trying to teach them so quickly with their desire to please. They're so versatile, you can get them to do anything. Shed hunting, deer hunting, it's a huge passion of mine. It was a natural fit.
That's awesome. Now, real quickly, got about a minute left in the segment. What happened to Lucky Dog Charters? I actually know the answer to this, but it was fun because we had our next guest coming up. It's going to be Jimmy Gretzinger in the second hour of the show. And I remember some good friends of ours were out. We did an episode of Michigan Outdoors Television with Jenny on your boat for Lucky Dog Charters. We had a great day walleye fishing. And now I hear you're not doing that anymore.
Well, Duran, it is a funny story. You bring that up. We had a lot of fun out there, didn't we?
Absolutely, man. It was great.
I had a construction company or construction business owner come up, bring some of his guys out on the boat. We had a glorious day on the water, sunshine, flat seas, filled the cooler full of walleyes. And he says, you know, I really need to do something like this someday. I should buy a boat like this. And I said, we can make that happen, sir. And all of a sudden, I was boatless.
That was it. That's all it took.
To make a long story short, I drove home empty-handed.
Well, you know, it can't be all bad, right?
Yeah. We ended up selling everything, lock, stock, and barrel, rods, reels, lures, you name it, it's gone.
And so, well,
and it was time to move on, and we're just sticking with what we do best, and that's make beautiful puppies.
That's awesome. And give us your website again before I forget, please.
Countryside-kennels.com.
All right, make Facebook, sure you
can get me on Facebook at James Lucky Miller.
All right, make sure you look for him, and all that stuff will be on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. As always, sir, I appreciate your time and your efforts here on the show.
Hopefully we'll cross paths real soon.
I'm looking forward to it, man. A lot of stuff coming our way. And next hour of the show, we'll speak with Jimmy Gretzinger. Also want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns, our new affiliates at WBBL and WJRW in the Grand Rapids area. And of course, Conquest Sense, conquestsense.com. Links to all our guests and past podcasts
on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Whole another hour coming your way on the Michigan Talk Network. Awesome, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for the call, Jerry. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too. You too. I'll look forward to talking to you soon, and we'll grab you again here as the spring rolls on.
Yeah, tell Jimmy I said hello.
I sure will, man. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
All right, take care. Okay, 4 minutes until Jimmy. Hi.
Sorry, I didn't mean to keep it so long.
No worries.
Could you hear that?
Can I hear what?
Could you hear that? What's going on?
I can hear him talking.
Oh, okay.
Good.
I
have a merch gift to get for you, and I have a signal that.
What is that? What is that?
Joey just took it out of the team. That's not for you.
No, I know.